This is Christopher O'Reilly, and thank you for downloading this show from San Antonio. It's a high-energy one because, as you'll hear, the audience was entirely made up of music teachers, and they couldn't have been more enthusiastic. Also, I found the Teenage Sax Quartet's performance on the show nothing less than profound. They perform a piece called Sarajevo, written in memory of the siege of that city during the Civil War there, and their level of commitment to the material is palpable. Here's the show.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Welcome. We're coming to you from the Lila Cockrell Theater at the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center in San Antonio, Texas. Our audience is made up of hundreds of music professionals attending the 2018 Texas Music Educators Convention, a gathering that is absolutely huge, the largest of its kind in the nation, with nearly 30,000 teachers and students in attendance. We want to thank the Texas Music Educators Association for including us in their annual President's Concert. We also have a very special guest artist appearance planned for the occasion. The duo Black Violin will be joining our kids in the second half of the program to perform a version of the Shaker song, Simple Gifts. Texas public schools have an absolutely amazing commitment to music education, and to celebrate that fact, today it's all Texas public school kids all the time. Our first young performer school is Midway High School in Woodway, Texas, near Waco. Please welcome 16-year-old violinist Han Moon. Han, welcome. Tell everyone what you and I are going to play.
We will be playing the Polonaise Brilliant in D major by Wieniawski. Hope you enjoy.
When you are ready, we'll take it from the top.
Thank you.
Han Moon, 16-year-old violinist from Woodway, Texas, played the Polonaise by Enric Wieniawski. Han is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. That's the way to start off a program. Wow. Thank you for that, Han. That was spectacular. I know you love your Texas hometown and school, but you also take great pride in your Korean heritage. What sorts of things resonate with you?
The aspect that I take the most pride in, I would say, is the resilience and strength of the Korean people. You know, after the war, the country was literally on the ground, but over a short period of time, we were able to construct and create and build the nation again. And even though the North and the South are divided right now, I believe that we are united in more ways than just our nationality, and separated just by circumstance.
How about with the Winter Olympics, the South Koreans marching in alongside the North Koreans at the ceremony?
Yeah, that was really good. You know, sports have been used as a medium that transcends political boundaries, just as music has been. And, you know, the marching together has spurred peace talks between the South and the North. And I hope that this is just a catalyst for further, you know, lasting negotiations.
Hope so, too. Well, you're doing your family proud, not only because of your musicianship, but because of your scholarship. You're no less than the valedictorian at Midway High. Tell these teachers in our audience what sorts of stuff drives you to study so hard.
Well, history and government are my favorite subjects. And the teachers that I have teach not only the dates and the treaties and the wars, but how that affects our current situations and the things that are going on right now, since, you know, history tends to repeat itself. So I really appreciate that.
It's not all serious music performance and serious studying for you. Your pesky brother wanted us to know that you have a boy band obsession.
Okay, so in fifth and sixth grade, I was obsessed with One Direction, and that was like when they were first forming as a band. And then, like, a couple of, months later, I was listening to the music and, you know, without the image of the boys portrayed by the band, and I realized it wasn't the best music, and and so I gradually, you know, stopped listening to them. But then a couple of years ago, I read on Twitter an article about Harry Styles, and I realized that the band was on a hiatus, which means they're never going to get back together again. So, and I really liked the new, like, persona and the vibe that Harry was giving off. So, and he released some new music, and I really like it. So, it's not much boy band now. It's just one person.
Harry. Han, I know you'll be back in a while to collaborate with our guest artists, Black Violin, so we'll look forward to that. And again, bravo for such a brilliant opening.
Thank you.
Han Moon, 16 years old, our violinist from Woodway, Texas.
Check out our online video series featuring music videos with our young musicians performing with artists from across the musical spectrum. Go to YouTube/FromTheTop. Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2.5 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to FromTheTop.org to learn more.
My name is John Kaiser. I'm 17, and like a lot of kids in Texas, I'm way into my high school band. I really respect our director, Gavin Smith, and I've played a variety of instruments over the years. I actually have a mantra: whatever is needed, I'll do it. Whatever our director needs, that's the instrument I'll try to play. My musical flexibility has sort of driven my parents crazy. I mean, I've had a little trouble, you know, sticking with one thing. I started out on violin. D- Despite the fact that I'd asked to play the violin, I quit because I thought that baseball was more exciting. When I picked up music again, I was all excited because it was going to be cello. But by fifth grade, I had had about enough of that. Then one day, my band director came up to me and said, "You're a pretty big guy, John, and I need someone to play the bassoon." I didn't even know what a bassoon was, but I took it home. I remember I had trouble even opening the case, and I had to call my teacher to learn how to put it together. I wanted to be in the marching band, but the director didn't want double reed players messing up their embouchures, so I took up the sax. When a new high school was built near me, I decided I wanted to play percussion, mostly mallet instruments. Remember my mantra, whatever is needed, I'll do it. So you're probably asking, what instrument is this troubled young man going to play on from the top? Well, the answer is bassoon. By sixth grade, my parents were tired of me switching around so much, so they insisted that I pick one instrument to really study. And of all the instruments I toyed around with, I chose the bassoon. I mean, come on, it was clearly the coolest instrument by far. And the piece I'm about to play is a wonderful showcase for the instrument. This is the aria from the Sonatine for Bassoon and Piano by Alexander Tonsman.
John Kaiser, 17 years old, from Frisco, Texas, played the aria from Alexander Tonsman's Sonatine for Bassoon and Piano. Beautiful there, John. Thank you. You talked about your school's band before you played and your willingness to pitch in on anything that was needed, but let everyone in on the very cool venue that the marching band gets to play in.
Yes, so in Frisco, they recently just built the new training facility for the Dallas Cowboys, and not only is it a multi-million dollar indoor stadium, there's also the Omni Hotel, and many office buildings for workers for the Cowboys, many restaurants and shops around, and even a Lexus dealership. So we're very lucky that we get to play our games there, and it was an agreement with the city of Frisco that all Frisco ISD high schools get to play their high school games there.
And it sounds like you've got the Texas indoors pretty well covered there, very opulently. But I know you love the outdoors of Texas. What do you like to get out there and do?
Well, it may seem strange to be an outdoorsman in Dallas, considering that it's completely flat and it's nothing but concrete for about 2 hours. But there is some solitude. There's many lakes, and I live very close to Lake Louisville, and I'll go out every morning in the summer with either myself or one or two friends who reluctantly I drag along, and we'll either fish or just sort of sit and watch the sunrise. It's just sort of a nice activity before it gets too hot in the summer.
That's right. Last summer, I know you attended a great outdoorsy kind of space. You were at the Brevard Music Center in North Carolina, and you learned an important lesson about reaching out to your audience there.
So one thing I noticed performing at Brevard is that a lot of the people there who watch the concerts aren't typically the most well-versed in classical literature. They're usually just people who come in from around the area. They want some local entertainment. And one of the ensembles played Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony. And anybody who knows it knows that the third movement is quite a trap.
Very
for
exciting.
Applause afterwards.
Yeah.
And, of course, it just thunderous applause after the third movement. And, of course, there's plenty of people who will sort of scoff at that and sort of think, wow, these people don't know anything about music. But everybody who just clapped has just heard that piece of music for the first time. So as a ton of people who have just been exposed to a wonderful piece. And maybe they'll go home and research more about Tchaikovsky or anything else. And that's just a ton of new people who have been introduced to classical music. So instead of being an exclusive club, I think classical musicians, we should just open our doors to everybody.
Just encourage that open enthusiasm. Yes. I know. I know in my experience, if I don't get applause right after the first mood of the Tchaikovsky concerto, you know, I'm not doing
something
my job.
Wrong, yeah.
So, yeah. John, great having you with us.
Thank you.
And thank you. John Kaiser, 17 years old from Frisco, Texas. In our lineup of all Texas public school kids today, our next young performer is a flutist who goes to Vista Ridge High School in the town of Cedar Park near Austin. Her name is Joanna Kim. She's 16 years old, and she's brought music by the American composer Eric Ewason. This is the third movement of his Sonata No. 1 for flute and piano. The Allegro Giocoso movement of Eric Ewason's Sonata for Flute and Piano, performed by Joanna Kim, 16 years old, from Austin, Texas. Joanna is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Joanna, you describe yourself as an introvert, but that performance didn't sound very introverted to me. You describe yourself as, this is kind of your outlet, I guess.
Yes, I am a very introverted, shy, and quiet person, so performing is definitely an outlet for me. I've always been a shy person, so performing is kind of like being an actress, I guess. So, yes.
Yeah, so a method flutist, I guess we say. As a little kid, you weren't all that introverted, at least not in your grandparents' store. What did your grandparent do?
Well, when I was little, my grandparents owned a Korean market. So I used to go around and run around and open snacks and eat them all the time and just kind of run around and be crazy all the time.
And I guess that's been kind of truncated. Your dad has what kind of store now?
A liquor store.
Yeah. No sampling the snacks, I guess. So that's fine. And this stage right here at the Lila Cockrell Theater is the site of what you say was your greatest musical experience.
Yes. When I was a freshman, I was first chair in the Philharmonic Orchestra. And being back here brings a lot of nerves and excitement. Because I was first chair and only a freshman, everyone else in the section was older than me. So I felt that pressure to step up my game. And so I practiced a lot. And here I am today. On From the Top, so it's kind of nerve-wracking again. But I'm very excited to be here as well.
Hardly nerve-wracking in that performance, but I know that this plays into your own sort of personal philosophy of how much of your success is due to natural talent and how much you get chalking up to hard work.
Yes, that's kind of my philosophy, I guess, that I go with. I always think that hard work is always going to surpass talent because I think hard work will always, in the long run, be better than just having natural talent.
We're going to invite you back on stage to perform with our guest artist duo Black Violin in the second half of the program, so we'll look forward to that, Joanna.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. Joanna Kim, 16 years old, from Austin, Texas.
If you like From the Top, make sure you like us on Facebook. It's the easiest way to stay in touch with everything From the Top. You'll find daily videos, articles, photos, and a thriving community of fans. Join the fun by going to facebook.com/fromthetopfans.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation. Committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. And from Americans for the Arts.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Lila Cockrell Theater at the Henry B. Gonzalez Convention Center in San Antonio, Texas. Coming up, Today's guest artists, the duo Black Violin, join our young musicians to perform an arrangement of the Shaker song Simple Gifts. Our show from the 2018 Texas Music Educators Convention is made possible with support from the Texas Music Educators Association and the National Association of Music Merchants. Special thanks to Texas Public Radio, KPAC. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. On stage now is an exceptional saxophone quartet from right here in San Antonio. They are Ryan Montemayor, 17-year-old. He plays the soprano sax. Jacob Brockett, 15, plays alto. Matt Escobedo, 17-year-old, plays the tenor saxophone. And our baritone sax player is 15-year-old James Pachicara. They're coached by Greg White at Ronald Reagan High School, and they call themselves the Quartet Quidnunc. Please welcome them. Jacob, tell us about the name of the group. I believe Quidnunc is Latin. What does that mean?
Yes. Quidnunc is Latin for what now?
All right. Well, what now? And the piece you're about to perform next is a very powerful and modern work. Will you tell everyone about it?
Yes. The piece we're about to play is called Sarajevo by Guillermo Lago. And this piece was inspired by the city of Sarajevo, which during the Bosnian War in the 1990s was under siege for about 3 years. And during those 3 years, there was lots of death, destruction, and genocide. And after those 3 years, the UN finally intervened, and in about 3 days, they managed to lift the siege. Thank you.
Quartet Quid Nunc, ages 15 to 17, from here in San Antonio, played Sarajevo by Guillermo Lago. At the mics now, we have the quartet's members, Ryan Montemayor, Jacob Brockett, Matt Escobedo, and James Pashikara. Just a gorgeous piece and such a wonderful performance. You guys really inhabit this piece, but I know it. I mean, you make it sound easy, but I know it's not easy. Matthew, what do you see as some of the piece's toughest challenges?
The most difficult part of this piece is maintaining like the intensity of silence. Like you can hear it, it resonates without making sound. But for me personally, as the tenor saxophone player, in the beginning I have to start completely from silence, which is extremely hard.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Well, and it's not that hard for you. I understand a few minutes ago you just made first chair in Allstate, so congratulations, man. Jacob, you four are part of your school's band program, which is a big-time commitment in itself, so this is a whole extracurricular thing. How do you find time to practice?
Well, we have a period every single day just to practice quartet, and our lunch period is the period right before, so we take about half of our lunch to go get ready, get warmed up, so when our coach, Greg White, comes in to help us coach, we have a whole period to get work done.
Yeah, I could use half a lunch, I think. Yeah, that would be good. Maybe a step in the right direction. Speaking of marching band, forgive me for bringing this up, Ryan, but you all have one of the strangest and funniest rituals I've ever heard of. Before you do your marching band performances, James, you want to tell us what that is?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty weird, but like, so Ryan's a drum major, so he's always up top, he's always above us on a podium. So we're always kind of looking at his legs, and we made this joke where we think Ryan's calves look really good. So before our performances, we always like we all like kind of touched his calves for good luck.
Looking pretty lucky to me there. As part of the marching band, you all got to do something pretty special on New Year's Day recently. Ryan, what was that?
Yeah, so New Year's Day, we were fortunate enough to march in the Tournament of Roses parade. And personally, that experience, marching the parade, it was very special, seeing the, you know, massive amounts of people. One thing I do remember, though, was that six mile walk, the 6 mile march was very, very tiring. But we all got through it, and it was a really good experience.
And I know that in addition to doing the parade, you did a little bit of outreach occasion.
We were lucky enough to do some outreach at a local hospital. And that's always very special to us to be able to play for different audiences, to spread saxophone quartet to people that don't normally listen to it. So good experience.
And I know you do a lot of the mentoring and outreach, but outreach can have its hazards. You know, there's some tough crowds out there. Ryan, there was one particular elementary school that you had to deal with.
Yeah, I'm starting to feel like the butt of the joke now. But
you're just everything. You've got all the laugh lines are for yours, Ryan.
So, but 2 years ago, when we were at Fishoff, we did an outreach concert at a local elementary school for a class of fifth graders. And after we performed, our coach, Gregor White, opens the floor for questions. One of them asked, you know, what's the soprano playing doing right before he plays? It sounds like he's, like, breathing out or something. And it's, you know, actually just me breathing really heavily and having a bad habit of breathing too loudly. So, yeah, it's one of those things, like, you're not supposed to hear that. But I just looked at Mr. White, and he just kind of chuckled at me.
Everybody's a critic.
I know, right?
Those fifth graders are particularly harsh. James, James, I know you all have a really fun second piece to perform for us now. Will you introduce it, please?
We're going
to
play Tango Virtuoso by Thierry Escache.
Stage is yours. Tango Virtuoso by Thierry Escache, performed by our young sax ensemble quartet Hübnunk, ages 15 to 17 years old, from Ronald Reagan High School here in San Antonio.
Chris had an in-depth musical talk with the members of Quartet Hübnunk and connected with their coach Greg White about saxophone quartets. It's part of this week's bonus content when you download our podcast. Go to fromthetop.org/podcast to subscribe.
Violinist Kev Marcus and violist Will Baptiste, otherwise known as Will B, the duo we now know as Black Violin, went to high school together at Dillard High in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. After going to separate colleges to study classical music, they founded Black Violin, a hip-hop group unique in its central use of stringed instruments. By 2005, they had won the Legend Award at the Apollo Theater, and since then, they've performed internationally with the likes of Alicia Keys and for the Obama White House. Everywhere they tour, they engage with local kids, sending out a message they hope shatters stereotypes of all sorts. Please welcome Black Violin. We've got Will B. at the mic. Will, great to have you on the show. We're going to talk more about the amazing work you and Kev do. But first, let's have you play with our kids. What are you all going to perform?
Well, first of all, thanks for having us. We're honored to be here. And we're going to perform a remix of Simple Gifts. It's called Shaker.
Great. The other members making up Black Violin are drummer Nat Stokes and DJ SPS. They'll be performing with three members of the sax quartet we just heard, Jacob Brockett, Matt Escobedo, and James Pachicara. Also with our 16-year-old violinist, Han Moon, and our 16-year-old flutist, Joanna Kim. And one of the superb young cellists in the Texas All-State Orchestra will also join the mix, 17-year-old Kevin Jung from Houston. Thank you. Black Violin, featuring Kev Morkus and Will B, performed Shaker, based on Simple Gifts by Joseph Brackett, arranged by Kev, Will, and Evan Chapman. Big fun. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Will, tell us a little bit about what you were like when you were the age of our kids on the show and and how you discovered the violin.
I was a quiet kid to myself, practiced whenever I had a chance to. You know, my teachers always tell me, listen, you know, practice now because if you become a professional, you won't have time to practice. And he was absolutely right about that. And you know, I think for us, man, we just always really tried to find a way to make it fun. You know, what we do has always been fun for us. And I think that's the thing that really separates us from everyone else because we made it ours and we made it fun.
Well, and you're making your own music now. I'm wondering, though, what were the classical pieces that inspired you when you were a kid?
Oddly enough, Shostakovich is one of my favorite composers, which is weird because I kind of hated him at first, you know. But I think, you know, classical music, it's always a story. You know, composers, it's always a story behind the pieces, right? When I learned the story behind his pieces and I learned his story, it really made me have an appreciation for his music, you know what I mean? It made me really understand the odd chord structures he was putting together, you know what I mean? So it really drew me to him, not only his music, but to the person himself, Shostakovich. So, yeah, Shostakovich.
And composing under the gun, literally.
Right, exactly.
Kev, can you bring us in on how the concept of black violin emerged?
Well, Will and I, you know, we grew up, we met in high school in orchestra class, first day of high school, we always had a love for classical music. We always, you know, wanted to excel. We would go to our own FMEA in Florida and try to get first chair at Allstate every year. That's what we were into. But then, you know, I felt like when we went to college, we kind of, you know, I don't know, it was just different. You know, we're in a college where, you know, no one looks like us. The people we grew up with and our orchestra wasn't there, and it became more like a job. And we wanted to bring the fun back into it. So what we decided is that, you know, right around 9/11, like all the symphony gigs seemed to be drying up. We're about to finish college, and we're like, well, what are we going to do? And then we started to think, well, how about we try to produce hip-hop music? And that's what we were thinking. We were like, well, we'll do hip-hop music, but except we'll put secondary dominance in it, and we'll use music theory and try to make it another level. So, you know, while we were trying to do that, you know, we would play these hip-hop beats, and we were from Miami, so we'd play these hip-hop beats for all the local rappers, and then, you know, play like two or three of them of our own beats, and then they were like, oh, that's hot, I like that. And then we go in the other room and pull out violins and violas and start playing on it, and then they'd be like, wow, like, what is that? I need that, you know? And then it was on us to realize that people were drawn to it, because for us it was very easy to just turn on a hip-hop beat and just play anything on it. It was very simple, but then we realized people were drawn to it. So that was sort of the thing that we look back on the most of, you know, like at least we recognize that. Because sometimes, you know, your future is staring right at you, but you have to recognize that it's something special, you know? Yeah. And once we recognized it, we kept doing it over and over and over, and, you know, and now people pay us to do it.
Kev, I spoke a little bit about your mission behind the group. What sorts of particular messages do you like to share with young musicians in what you're doing?
Well, you know, we get to perform for over 100,000 kids a year. We play, you know, 180 shows a year around the world. And, you know, when we get to perform for these kids, the easy thing would be, all right, you know, make sure that you go get your instrument and you practice all day, you know? Like, that would be the easy message. We feel like the message that's a bit broader and it can reach people that are musicians or artists or do anything is about, you know, the reason why people pay to see us perform isn't because we're the best violinists in the world. It is because we are approaching it in a completely different way. Everything about it, the way it looks, how we look, how we're dressed, how it sounds, how loud it is, everything. You know, it's just about being different. So we challenge everyone, young people, old people, everyone. It's just about thinking outside the box and doing things in a way that no one else thought was possible. Like, you can be a skateboarder or a basketball player or a scientist, and you know, but we just need more forward thinkers. So rather than just dwell on, you know, the musical part, we'll let your orchestra teachers and your band teachers tell you to practice. Yeah. We're telling you, no matter what it is that you love to do, think about it in a different perspective. And again, if you do it over and over and over, I mean, you become a master at it. And you can, you know, and you can create your own path that you could smile every day when you're doing it, you know? And that's the thing we're trying to come across.
Will, I know you've got a classically inspired tune to take us out of the program. What will it be?
We're going to take you out with Brandenburg, our version of Brandenburg, with a little bit of Biggie Smalls in there. So look out. Enjoy.
This reimagined Bach is an exciting way to end our show today. I want to thank Black Violin, all of our great young performers, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Black Violin, please take it from the top.
From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the National Endowment for the Arts, the federal agency that supports the arts and creativity in communities across the nation. More information is available at arts.gov. From the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide to address inequality in all its forms. Learn more at fordfoundation.org. And from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. And now, a little additional music for you to enjoy as a podcast subscriber. This is my complete break piece from the program, the Prelude and Fugue in E Major from Johann Sebastian Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1.